We talked last week about legislation being considered in Oregon to place further regulations on the aerial spraying of herbicides on industrial forest land. The main case in favor of more regulation is the well-documented case of a helicopter spraying dozens of homes and people in the Cedar Valley community of Oregon near Gold Beach in October 2013. That case is documented further by a short documentary film called Drift, put together by students in the Environmental Studies program at the University of Oregon. Two of the students involved join us to talk about the project, along with one of the residents of Cedar Valley. The students are Ailey Baker, a University of Oregon graduate student. Ailey, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And I'm not sure if Erica has joined us yet. Erica Sears is a student organizer. Erica, are you there?
I am here. Thanks for having me as well.
Excellent. Good to have you as well. And John Burns is with us. He is a resident of Cedar Valley and the volunteer fire chief there as well. Welcome, John.
Thank you.
So either Ailey or Erica, tell us a bit about the class that combines media and environmental studies. It sounds like it's a fairly new thing in the College of, or the Environmental Studies program at the U of O.
Yeah, so I guess over a year ago, a group of graduate students and undergraduates went down to Cedar Valley with Lisa Arkin of Beyond Toxics, and we spent time with Cedar Valley residents and got to know them, and John being one of the primary people that we got to know. But we were so moved and inspired by what was going on down there in terms of communities responding to the issue of pesticide drift that we went back to the Environmental Studies program, and there's a program called the Environmental Leadership Program that connects students with communities, and we saw about how could we make this a course and continue to explore and kind of understand what was going on down there. And so kind of how could we combine storytelling and media into that process so that we could connect students and communities to tell stories about what was going on.
And how difficult the process, if at all, was it to decide that this was where you wanted to go? It seems like it probably was the most interesting environmental issue within a few hours drive of Eugene at the time.
Certainly, and I think, you know, part of it was just responding to what's going on in our community, and again, just that connection that we already had with Gold Beach residents and with John Burns and other residents, it seemed important to go back and to really spend time and really look into this and research and ask the questions not only down in Gold Beach, but also back at the university to professors and to other scholars and to other community members to try and understand this issue that affects not only Cedar Valley, but also right here in Lane County. So it was important to us to continue that relationship, for sure.
And now, would each of you tell us in turn what got you into the Environmental Studies program in the first place?
I'm an International Studies student with a focus on environment, and I decided that I wanted to be like a part of a team that is, it's a pretty intense program, but I wanted to make that kind of time commitment. And, so I found there's a bunch of different teams within the program, and the Just Stories team, which we are part of, really struck my interest because it does deal with storytelling. And as somebody who, I'm also from the Oregon coast, I'm from Pacific City, Oregon, I was also really interested in what was going on in Gold Beach, Oregon, which is a similar community, but that same issue is happening in my community as well.
Mm-hmm. And for the other of you?
Yeah, so I'm a master's student in environmental studies, and I'm actually from Maine originally, but I was drawn to Oregon and the University of program specifically just because it was so unique in that it brings humanities as well as the environmental justice perspective. And I came from a radio background, so I really wanted to think, how could I continue telling stories and work with communities on the ground to think about mobilizing change and thinking about hard questions? And so this is a perfect fit for me and has been an incredible learning experience, so I've been very lucky.
So, John Burns, you're the person who actually lives in Cedar Valley. But for the folks who don't know, what did happen there?
Well, what happened was that most of us were outside and going about our daily chores, some at work and some home. I actually was one of them that was outside when the helicopter passed over the top of us several times. And a couple of times through that transition, I smelled some really awful smells. And at first, I didn't know what it was. It was later that we found out that we had just been had product, herbicide product, dropped on us. And a lot of us became very sick, very ill, from the extremes of asthma attacks. And our fire chief actually went into the emergency room coughing up blood and others like that. And a lot of us are still sick at this this time, even though it's been over a year and a half, and that would be something I might mention later on about the volatilization of it, too. But that's basically what happened. And through the investigation, found out with the GPS readings of the helicopter, he went directly over the top of us in our community, passing from where he was refilling his tanks to another site and taking the shortest route, of course, which was right over the top of us. And of course, animals were sickened, and horse was blinded, and animals died. And so we were at that point, what will we do at this stage of the game? And that's where we sought help with the local and state government. And finally, after 6 months, we finally found out what the poisons were that we were exposed to that day. But it took the state attorney general, that point to tell the Department of Agriculture what we were actually sprayed with. And all this time, we were trying to pursue help with the chemicals that we were actually hit with.
And was it, the way you describe it, it sounds like, was there an active spray going on as the helicopter passed over, or do you think it was just leakage? What could you see at the time?
Well, there's eyewitnesses that will testify that what they saw was the product was dripping out of the nozzles of the spray bar as he passed over the top of us. So he didn't have actual under pressure spraying, but the product was dripping out of it. And so as he passed over, like I said, the GPS reading showed 7 times over the top of us, back and forth, refilling. We were exposed to a lot of chemicals at that point, dropping right on our property, and those of us who were outside, by the time it hit us, it was into a mist type of product, you know. Mm-hmm. From there, it was the repercussions and the fallout from that point on.
All right. John Burns is a resident of Cedar Valley and the volunteer fire chief there, and one of the people profiled in the film Drift, put together by University of Oregon students. We have Ailey Baker and Erica Sears with us from the film, from the program at the Environmental Studies Program at the University of Oregon. We'll come back and talk back more with all three of them. Don't forget Steve Inskeep coming up in the back end of the hour to talk about his book. We'll get 10 minutes with him. Back on the Jefferson Exchange with Ailey, Erica, John, and you in a minute 20. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We are talking about the Cedar Valley herbicide spraying of October 2013 here on the Jefferson Exchange. Once again, we did talk about it a bit last week in the context of legislation being considered to further curtail or at least increase the regulation, actually, on herbicide spraying on industrial forest lands in the state of Oregon. By comparison with other states, the regulations are found lacking by some people. We are talking, though, in the context of the film Drift, put together, and a short documentary film Drift, put together by students at the University of Oregon Environmental Studies Program. Ailey Baker and Erica Sears are two of the students involved with that effort. John Burns is a volunteer firefighter and resident of Cedar Valley. And you can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about the issue. 800-838-3760 throughout the listening area. And email is jx@jeffnet.org. We did grab a couple of sound clips off of Drift, and I want to play this one. It sort of sets up the general mood at the time. We call this Drift Clip 1.
One of my boys was outside. The kids were already excited because my little boys love helicopters. And it had flown over about every 20 minutes over our place. It probably went 4 or 5 times. Different directions. It didn't follow the same path.
John Burns, for you then, when the helicopters come over, it sounds like there's, people get used to this. I mean, kids get excited, but is this something that has gone on for years and years?
Well, there has been a pattern over the last few years where when a helicopter is in the area, that usually means that they were looking for marijuana growth and et cetera. So we didn't really pay much attention to it that day. But then once the consistency of the many flights over us were going on and continuing, then we started becoming alarmed a little bit. But then after many of us smelled the product, and we really didn't associate that with the helicopter at first until later that day, and realized that we were hit with an herbicide spray.
And so, for Ailey or Erica, tell us about the approach to the work and how you got set up. You mentioned going with Lisa Arkin, who we've talked to many times here, the executive director of Beyond Toxics, based in Eugene. How did you structure the project, and how much of it was you? How much was guided by the professor, perhaps in the class?
So before we went, we were a group of 11 students. And none of us knew each other, and we were all from different backgrounds, and we all had different majors. So the first couple of weeks of the term, we spent studying media ethics and, you know, how do we as students that aren't from Gold Beach tell the stories or help tell the stories of people we don't know of a place we've never been to. And so we spent a lot of time analyzing, like, who we are and what our own biases are, so that when we went to Gold Beach, we could do a more accurate job of helping tell their stories and with their testimonies. So for the most part, it was Ailey as our professor and then as students. And we just went there, and I think all of us learned how to just listen to stories and to record them, and how, you know, we had to decide how do we include these different aspects of Gold Beach into our film, and also what happened to them in our film.
So, Ailey, is it meant to be just straight up? You know, you represent both sides. You just ask questions of people. I mean, or is there some environmental advocacy? This is an environmental studies program that you're working from, right?
Yes, I think that's a great question to ask. And I think that we thought a lot about advocacy in the process of creating this film and where we sit on that line. And I think where we fell down on that was really thinking about how can we work with this community to help them tell their story on their own terms. And, you know, I think that we were able to talk to a wide variety of people in Gold Beach, and John Burns was really central in connecting to us to a lot of people. And maybe Erica could talk about this, but one of the things that we were really kind of concerned with and wanted to think about was carefully thinking about how we frame logging, because it is such an important part of how we live in Oregon and how we make a sense of life, how we put food on the table. And so we wanted to make sure that we were responding to a harm that was happening in this community and that was kind of undocumented in many ways. But we also wanted to be careful in thinking about how do we kind of create a more balanced perspective about what's going on.
Okay, it's a really good point to bring up at this point, because one of the things that we talked with Catherine Rickard, one of the other victims in Cedar Valley, last week was, she says she comes from a logging family. She's worked in the woods herself. So there's a real strong support for the timber industry there that is reflected in this other clip from the film. We call this Drift Clip 2.
If we aren't tree huggers or anything else, we love our environment. We want to see things healthy. And be it getting a clam off the beach or a crab out of the ocean or fish out of the river, we want it all to be healthy. That's why we live here.
And we're not against logging by any means.
I mean, you can do it in the right way. I ain't in against reforestation. If you're going to log, you better reforest it. Mm-hmm. Just, they need to go about it safer.
We hope and pray that someday that he can get well and go back.
So, John Burns, you're the one who lives in Cedar Valley. I mean, is there generally a pretty good relationship between the people who live there and the timber industry at large?
I would say at large it pretty much is, because it is a logging industry. It's very prevalent down here in this area. And so people really depend on those jobs, and we really advocate that. We support it totally. There's nothing, and we need that commerce. It's extremely important to create jobs for people and to keep that commerce going. But the one procedure that they use in the way that they use the aerial spraying is the really the harmful part of all of it, and that's the part that that includes the bill that we wanted to change some of that, so that it doesn't create the harm to the people and the environment,
which we discussed at length last week. The fact that there really is no specific provisions. I mean, there are some stream buffers there. You have to avoid spraying over a stream, but you don't have to avoid spraying over buildings, any buildings, home, schools, no matter what. That is lacking from the Oregon legislation right now.
That's correct.
Erica Sears, since how many students ended up working on the project in Cedar Valley?
There was 11 from our group, and there were a few other students from an environmental justice class that came as well, so probably about 15 in total. And then that project was winter term, and it's continued on spring term. And this term, there's about 9 of us that are working on creating a website that's also sharing the stories of people that have worked with the issue of aerial herbicide spray.
And how long, actually, is Drift total?
The film is about 20 minutes.
And you rolled it out in, was it March when it first got a viewing?
Yeah, we did. So we spent the first couple of weeks of the term preparing, and then we spent one weekend in Gold Beach collecting the stories, collecting all the footage. And then, Ailey, I believe we got the film done in like 2 weeks, and that was spending hours upon hours every day in the media lab. It was a lot of work and a little bit of time.
All right. Well, you learn one of the things that those of us who've worked in television news have had to figure out over the years is when you go to an incident and the incident has happened long before, what do you do for footage? So, Ailey, how did you work the students through that part of the process?
Yeah. Oh, that's an interesting question. I think that a lot of it was just really about spending time with communities and listening. And so John did a great job. One of the things that we did was, you know, have town hall meetings and invite people to come and really kind of share their story that way. But then we also set up time. We wanted to go to the places where people lived and spend time in their homes because, you know, a lot of times these are places that have been affected. And I think one of the roles that this kind of storytelling can do is a form of ground truthing of just looking at the properties that have been affected and sprayed and, you know, seeing where that flight path happened and being there to document that and to put that out there is just a form of further evidence that I think is important to share.
We're talking about the short documentary film Drift, put together by University of Oregon students. Ailey Baker is the graduate student who directed the work. Erica Sears is the student organizer on the project. John Burns is the is one of the volunteer firefighters in Cedar Valley, where the incident happened, Cedar Valley east of Gold Beach. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange if you have comments or questions, or check us out on the web and follow the link to the film on our Facebook page. But join us on the air right now at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area, 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org if you prefer to go by email. So, Erica, you mentioned that John was a big help in getting you connected to people. Without John, would it, you think, have been a much taller process to get people to talk, or were people really just open to talking about this in Cedar Valley?
We also had Lisa Arkin, and she has done a Beyond Toxics, and she has worked with them a lot as well. And so I think John definitely was a huge part of it, and Lisa was too. But the group itself has really become solidified because of this issue. And so once we started talking to one person, in all of our interviews, they referenced each other, kind of that small town going back and forth kind of a thing. And I think people were open to, as far as they want to talk about it, to change the issue or to work on it. However, it really was difficult to talk with some people about it because it really affected their lives. Even, you know, that clip, the first clip that you showed or we listened to about the helicopter and the little boys running out, Ailey and I were both there for that interview, and it's really difficult to talk to somebody about these health effects that kids might have that we just don't know. It's a really personal issue, so it was pretty difficult to talk about at times.
I can imagine. In fact, let's play this one we call Drift Clip 4 because this really gives you an idea of the impact.
People need to be responsible for their own actions. Because I think it's important to think things through instead of being careless. Because a man died, a dog died, my cat's almost died. A lot of things happen. It's a big rippling effect. And we are all connected as humans and we need to stop and remember that. I feel kind of like we're just a little town, little one-horse town, and nobody really thought we were important. And we are important. Anyone that's ever been here knows it's important.
Now, John Burns, we'd heard about the animals and certainly people being sick, but there was a man who died?
Well, the question with that is that the complications of this the chemicals that we're exposed to, it really destroys your immune system. And there was other complications that the man had. He was 70 years old. But during that whole process, that everyone saw his health declining and going into a bitter end with that exposure from that point on. And so it's a situation where what's questionable is that the family requested an autopsy, and someone had the power to stop the autopsy. And that's what's really questionable about that whole thing. Who has the power to stop an autopsy?
Interesting question. And so, Erica, tell us about the people you might have tried to talk to for Drift who didn't talk to you.
You know, for the most part, when we were in Gold Beach, we were just focusing on the residents themselves. And I think on this issue in general, you know, it's maybe bigger people in the timber industry themselves that don't want to talk, or government officials. And in this project, we were really trying to center the voices of residents. I think a lot of times in politics and government, it's easier for, you know, the people with all the money and the power to have a voice. I think that's something we learned was that, you know, we might not have the voices of, you know, the head of the timber industry talking in our film, but that wasn't the point of it. The point was to center the voices of these people as this issue is happening throughout Oregon.
And in fact, let's play this other one called Drift Clip 3, because this is really interesting, I think, to probably at least as much as the incident itself, the response to it initially.
So I called in to report that my daughter had been exposed and that she was ill. So I started calling the Department of Agriculture and the health authority.
The guy asked me, well, you know, can you think of anything that might have caused this? I said, well, we got sprayed on. Oop, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. We're not going to talk about that. That never happened. Just forget about it.
So, John Burns, as first responders in the area at the Volunteer Fire Department there in Cedar Valley, there would be, I would think, some connection you would have, at least some sort of official chain of command you could potentially jingle here. And what kinds of responses, if any, did you get as you tried to get attention to the issue?
Well, the responses came slowly because people didn't understand what was going on, I myself included, because I was outside working, and like I'd said earlier, and as the day went on, as time went on, it affected me heavier and stronger, where I became very sick. All of us became very sick. So we were also not even connecting it between our neighbors and us. We were each challenged with our own repercussions of what was going on with us. But as the days went on, we were able to connect more and more as we progressed in understanding what really happened to us, and then we were able to start coming together as a true community.
Ailey, give me an idea of what kinds of lessons the students have been able to learn just from the process and the things they heard. And I can imagine that there probably were a few times where you just looked at the faces of your students and they were aghast at what they were hearing.
Wow. Well, and I guess I would include myself in that too. I think we had an incredible community of learners, and I think it is, you know, these are hard things to take in, especially living in Oregon. I think this isn't an isolated incident, but I think what was also something that we all came away with was just the incredible, I don't want to say tenacity, but I think perseverance of the citizens of Gold Beach who, despite all the things that they're up against. And I think, you know, we look as students, we have the power to kind of look at what are the systems that these stories are living in, what are community members up against as they have to share these stories. And, you know, there's a whole literature about the burden of proof and how communities who've been affected by toxics have to prove that they've been affected. But how do you prove that when my rash might look different from yours? So I think, again, throughout all of this, despite all the odds that community members are up against, this incredible kind of coming together, but also thinking critically about what change can we make? What does that look like? What are the different channels we might make change? How can we partner with other communities outside of this very small one? So I think, if anything, for me at least, I think I get to see just how our stories are all very much intertwined, and thinking about what is it that me as a student here at University of Oregon, how do I play into this issue, and how can I begin to kind of ask the hard questions about it that need to be asked? And right. I'm sure Erica has other input too.
Okay, go ahead, Erica.
Yeah, I would say it was pretty similar to what Ailey said. I think also just realizing how much power a story has, but also as students, None of us had ever produced a film before, and we've been doing screenings around Oregon now, and I think it's been really an amazing experience to see our film up on the big screen. My friend said she heard somebody talking about our film the other day outside of a restaurant, and I think for us as students, it's really exciting to know that we're working with communities to help create change, and that we've had a part in that. I think that's been pretty exciting for everybody on our team.
I know Ann Leininger from the legislature was on the program last week to talk about the efforts to strengthen the spraying laws. Do you know if she's had a chance to see Drift herself?
Yeah, she has. I spoke with her last week at the Capitol, and she said thank you, and that it was a great film, that she had seen it several times, actually.
All right, so you've gotten good responses so far to what your efforts were.
Yeah, we definitely have. We just didn't really know what the reaction would be to the film. But so far, I think people have been really appreciative of it and, you know, have called it a powerful tool.
All right, the tool is the movie Drift. We'll come back and finish up with Erica Sears, Ailey Baker, and John Burns in just a few moments. And then just a few minutes down the road, we'll spend the final 10 minutes with Steve Inskeep from NPR News talking about his book on Andrew Jackson and removing the Cherokees and Creek from the southeast United States. That's coming up on the Jefferson Exchange. Stay tuned. Back with Ailey, Erica, John, and you in a minute 40. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. A couple of bits of business here on the Exchange in this final segment. We are talking with Ailey Baker, Erica Sears, students from the University of Oregon. Ailey's a graduate student who directed Erica and Company in putting together the documentary film Drift about the herbicide spraying, in the community of Cedar Valley, east of Gold Beach. John Burns is a member of the volunteer fire department there in Cedar Valley. And we're finishing up the discussion of them. Steve Inskeep from NPR News will be on in a couple of minutes to talk about his book, Jackson Land. You can join us in this final segment with the folks on Drift at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Greg from Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to add that it was 8 years ago, I believe, now that my wife and I were living out in the Illinois Valley, and we had BLM around our house, and on the other side of that was private property. And helicopters came in and sprayed one day, and my wife and my daughter got sick and actually threw up. You know, it didn't seem to bother me, except it smelled really bad. And about a month later, one of our neighbors complained that the drift had gone onto his agricultural land and had killed the edge of his crop. I spoke personally, face-to-face, with Ron Wyden about this a few months later, and he had his aide get my name and number and address and said he would get back to me on it, and he never did. But I looked into the issue further and discovered that it was atrazine that they were spraying at the time, and that's a very common pollutant in our waters all across the United States, but not used in Europe or South America anymore. Is that correct?
I will. Let's find out. I appreciate the call. Thanks for that, Greg. Appreciate it.
So
two things to get in here with Ailey and Erica. Number one, what did you find out about what was sprayed, and what did you find out about how often it goes on in different parts of Oregon?
I might defer this question to John. I think he knows so much about this.
Okay. John, take it up.
There's this goes on throughout the whole state, and we made our case a little bit more unique than others, where others are mostly on a drift situation, ours was directly hit over the path of us, and not even on the site, the target site. but it does happen. A lot of drift does happen, and this drift has been known to go miles and miles. It's been proven by a Tyrone Professor Tyrone Hayes, University of Berkeley.
Yes, we talked about UC Berkeley.
He's done a 15-year mm-hmm. study on it. And anyway, that with that, there's a lot of things that happen with it. And it's 2 years that the and two times the exposure of what happens. There's the question is...
Go ahead.
About the chemicals themselves, it's not, I want to really make the strong part of it. It's not Roundup. It's not a type of chemical that you can buy over the counter. These chemicals are handled by a certified licensed applicator. They're the only ones that the tank mixes that they use are so toxic that not even the federal government knows what this stuff does to people.
All right, all kinds of interesting things that came up.
With that.
Sure. All right, so the Cedar Valley spraying in October of 2013, covered in the short documentary film Drift, put out by the University of Oregon Environmental Studies Program. Ailey Baker was the graduate student who directed a lot of that. Erica Sears, the student organizer. John Burns, one of the volunteer firefighters in Cedar Valley. Thank you all for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange, and best of luck with the project.
Thank you so much. Check out our website, juststories.uoregon.edu, and also look up our video Drift on YouTube.
All right, and we have it linked through our website as well. Again, thanks to the folks from the documentary Drift for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange today.